So today we are reading from
Srimad Bhagavatam,
first canto, chapter 14, text number 43. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? It is the duty of a householder to feed, first of all, the children, the old members of the family, the Brahmins, and the invalids. Besides that, an ideal householder is required to call for any unknown hungry man to come and dine before he himself goes to take his meals. He is required to call for such a hungry man thrice on the road. The neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of old men and children, is unpardonable.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatavakam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Namaham Vishnu Padani Krishna Dre Samyabhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirdesheksha Shunyavani Parishasadeshatane.
Just see how wonderful is this Vedic culture. Everybody is taken care of. Nobody is neglected. Prabhupada says even the animals. The animals. Nowadays they find it very difficult to make sure that everybody is well fed. Is it due to a shortage of food? No, not really. It is due to mismanagement. I remember one time they had a huge crop of what they call a bumper crop, a huge excess of these really first class navel oranges in Southern California. So instead of distributing them, they just let them rot so the price would not go down. So for commercial interests, they will let people go hungry. This is the modern day world civilization. People are so greedy, they'll let people starve to death. Rather than their profits go down, they'll let people starve to death. This selfishness is the emblem of the modern day society. People are very, very selfish. But who becomes happy by selfishness? Has anybody ever become happy by becoming selfish? Does miserliness make one happy? No. The more one is a miser, the more he is miserable or miserable. A miser doesn't become happy. He may be very expert at hoarding money and exploiting other people, but he never becomes happy. Why is it money? Because that's not our identity. We are not the lords, so we're all we survey. That's not our identity. The fact is, we are actually servants of the Supreme. So if we try to take any other position besides service, it's artificial. We may think we're enjoying in some kind of exploitative position. But actually it never satisfies the self. Never satisfied. Completely artificial. The difficulty is we're programmed and conditioned that way, conditioned in that way from our very upbringing to be exploitative, to be more expert in the exploitation game than others. That is called success in the material world. He who is more expert in exploiting, he is a successful person. Completely incorrect training being given in the material world. Completely incorrect. No one becomes more the servant. He is happy. He's the happy person. If I base my happiness on gratifying my senses, you see, the fact is, according to the laws of nature, according to the karmic principle, there's a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of suffering which will come to me because of my previous pious and impious activities. That's a given. It's going to be happiness, it's going to be sukha and dukkha. That will come naturally. So they try to artificially get rid of the dukkha and just have the sukha. But you can't do that. It's like saying, well, we're not going to have any bad weather, we'll just have good weather from now on in one moment. The material nature is always up and down. Madhvishvarshishtakuntaya shitosna sukha dukkha. Krishna explains to Arjuna, the non-permanent appearance of happiness in distress and their disappearance in due course are due to the appearance and disappearance. This is the natural thing. They arise in sense perception of sign and word. This is these dualities. It is a natural part of material existence. You can't manipulate the dualities to where you're no longer experiencing the dualities. On every level, even if you're a demigod, the dualities are still acting in the heavenly planets. Demigods are sometimes conquered by the demons. The demons invade the heavenly planets, the demigods are subjugated by the demons. The dualities always exist in this material existence. So as long as we try to be the enjoyers, we cannot always enjoy. Sometimes we will think we're happy, and sometimes we'll feel really, really bad. That's reality. That's the thing. But if one, instead of trying to be the enjoyer, will take up the mood of service, that I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve all living beings by helping them to become connected with Krishna, then there is unlimited facility for you can 24 hours a day be engaged in service. If our happiness is serving Krishna and the living beings, there's no end to our happiness. So instead of trying to enjoy our senses, which is a fool's proposal, we should engage our senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. We should engage our senses in the service of the Master of the Senses, Krishna, Rishikesha. In this way, we will achieve a happiness which is never broken and which goes on increasing unlimitedly for all of eternity. Now that's real happiness. Where you plug into a blissful life and it just gets more blissful and more blissful and more blissful. This is called Krishna consciousness.
You heard that term, Krishna consciousness?
Yeah. Prabhupada said that Krishna means greatest pleasure. So, who would not want the greatest pleasure? It is only due to poor education that people are not all becoming Krishna conscious. Who would want something other than the greatest pleasure? Simply only an idiot would not go for the greatest pleasure. So Krishna is that greatest pleasure. When you have Krishna, you have everything. You can't be lacking in anything when you have Krishna. Because Krishna includes everything. If you have Krishna, you cannot be lacking in anything. Ananyashyantiyantomam yejanapriyapasate teishamnitsabhiyuktanam yogachemam bahamyam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 22. Krishna very clearly affirms that for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have, I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborates on that verse saying that Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you need. If you possess Krishna, you cannot lack it anything. So, how does one possess Krishna? You have to become totally possessed by Krishna. You have to give yourself completely. We must give ourselves completely to Krishna. And then we will possess Krishna. The trouble is, we got 1 foot in the lifeboat and 1 foot on the Titanic. That's the problem. Karma Mishra Bhakti, that is the difficulty. We're thinking, well, there's a really nice dance going on in the ballroom right now, down there. You're on the Titanic, and, you know, it's really a nice dance going on, and everybody's wearing their tuxedos and their gowns, and it's just a wonderful evening on the Titanic. And it's not going to sink anyway, you know, it's an unsinkable ship. Some people say we should go for the lifeboats. I mean, I'd be fanatical, you know, I want to just enjoy the evening. So we have that tendency to not take Krishna consciousness seriously. That is the difficulty. Even though we know, we still have a tendency to not take it seriously. Therefore, we don't experience what Krishna describes in 9.22 Bhagavad Gita. We still feel how we're struggling just to get along in this world. Instead of struggling to get along in this world, we should struggle to conquer the mind. That should be our struggle. We should struggle to conquer the mind and bring it completely under the shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. That should be our struggle. If that is our struggle, then we have no other struggles. We have no other difficulties. How to subdue that mind. That mind that wants to fly all over, goes here and there and everywhere, doesn't want to take shelter of Krishna. So we know better, but still that mind, those minds are just rascals. They just go here and there and everywhere. They don't come in for a landing at the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore we have to learn this art. Shri Nanda Nanda Abhaya Charanana Vindade. My dear mind, Please take shelter of the Divine Son. This we, this are, we have to live.
Otherwise we can never be happy. We must learn how to completely subdue the mind with the lotus feet of the Divine Son of Nanda Maharaj. So how do we do that?
We have to hear about Krishna.
We have to talk about Krishna. We have to bow down to Krishna. We have to serve Krishna. We have to remember Krishna.
We have to fully immerse ourselves in Krishna 24 hours a day. And whatever we're doing, we must connect that activity with Krishna. We must learn how to connect with Krishna every minute.
Otherwise, shama eva kevalam, we're simply wasting our time. That's all. Wasting our time.
It's not really difficult to connect with Krishna. I mean, he's so beautiful. He has all these wonderful opulences. He's so powerful. He's renounced us. So that's the amazing thing. I mean, somebody who's so wealthy, who's so famous, who's so powerful, who's so handsome, at the same time, he's the supreme renunciate. That's an amazing combination. Amazing combination. Krishna was criticized for associating with all those girls in Vrindavan Forest. The grandfather Bhishma, he confirmed, even though I'm known as the greatest brahmachari, Dirgavrata, even though I can say that actually Krishna is a better brahmachari than me. Because if I had been with all those girls in the dead of night in Vrindavan Forest, I would have followed them. And Krishna, he remained brahmachari. So Krishna is also the greatest renunciate. He excels in every single quality. Every single opulence, nobody can compete with Krishna. So somehow or other we just have to connect with him. Find some way to connect with Krishna. And Krishna will grow on you. If you can just somehow or find some way to get connected with Krishna, that will be so satisfying, so uplifting, so thrilling, so exhilarating, so enlightening, so fantastic of an experience that it will just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow on you. And all those other desires that have simply dragged us from the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes, that just evaporates. Because once you get a higher taste, who wants a lower taste? The lower taste may be very attractive if that's all you have. But if you have the higher taste, the lower taste is easily given. So the key is to get the higher taste. Somehow or other, get a taste of Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, get that taste. Every one of us, we must get that higher taste, otherwise we'll be gone tomorrow, back in the lap of Maya. Somehow or other we must get that taste. Find some way to connect with Krishna. There's 9 different types of bhakti. Find some way, by hearing, by chanting, by praying, by serving, by remembering. Somehow or other, by worshipping, somehow or other find some way to connect yourself with Krishna. This we must do. Otherwise, life is complete failure. Shama eva. Somehow or other, we must connect with Krishna. feel something special about Krishna. This process is not mechanical. This process is a process of the heart. We all have a tendency to want to love and be loved. That tendency must be reposed in Krishna. Give your love to Krishna. Instead of loving a dog or a cat, why not love Krishna who made all of that? Actually, when you love Krishna, you love everything. When you water the root of the tree, all of these branches are nourished. When you feed your belly, your whole body is nourished. So there is no loss. When you give the love of Krishna, now you can perfectly love every single living entity throughout the entire existence. So there is no loss when you give the love of Krishna. The gain is unlimited. So therefore we should not be fools and rascals. We should become Paramahamsa, highly intelligent beings. Simply give our love to Krishna. And bodily health, that's everything. But that is secondary. Keeping your body healthy, we have to do that. Providing for household is working for maintenance, that, but that always has to be secondary. Our real business, our only business, is to awaken our loving feelings to Krishna. I was there in Atlanta with Prabhupada in 1975. And one of our book distributing Sankirtan leaders who had come back with his van of Brahmacharis, he asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most?" And everyone was waiting to see how Prabhupada will answer this, because he's always saying the most important thing is distributed books. Everybody has one thing, what Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada said, "If you love Krishna." So if you want to know what is the most important thing, we have to love Krishna. That's the most important thing. Somehow or other develop our loving feelings for Krishna. Krishna is a person. These are not statues here. This is Radha and Krishna personally coming to bless us for their Sangha. Shri Gaurinitai. These are not statues. The personality of Godhead has come. Gaurinitai, Lord Krishna, His eternal Ladini Shakti, Radharani, they have come simply to bless us. We have to feel how they are personalities present here. We have to see how their personality is present to them. We have to give our hearts to them. Not just some mechanical thing. Now you're supposed to bow down, now you're supposed to do this. Just go through some mechanical routine. No. We do the routine, but we have to go beyond the routine. When we sing in the kirtan, this is an opportunity for us to give our love to Krishna, to express our love for Krishna by our singing and our dancing, to show Krishna how much we love Him. So we should try to develop those loving feelings. Of course, now we're full of lust, we're full of anger, we're full of greed, madness, illusion, and envy. But that love is actually present in the heart. that pure love of Krishna is present, just like in a match, fire is there. Within my heart, that love of Krishna is actually present. So by executing the regulated principles of devotional service as given by Rupa Goswami, as further elaborated by Srila Prabhupada, simply by engaging in the sadhana bhakti principles, then that love of Krishna will come out. It's like striking the match. Chanting Hare Krishna is striking the match. And keeping the match dry, it means no illicit sex, no meat-eating, no intoxication. Okay. We have to understand Krishna is there, waiting for us to come back to Him. He's just waiting. He's waiting to fully bless us with His Sangha. We just have to be in the proper mood of receiving it. That's all. Simply have to be in the proper mood of receiving.
Not letting you receive Krishna.
Reciprocal. So we are not so qualified yet, but we can reciprocate the Guru and the Vaishnava. And that will help us to come to the point of reciprocating. That's why Krishna says in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta state jana, mad bhakchananta ye bhakta, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna Prita, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he's not my devotee. But the devotee, my devotee, he is my devotee. So we're not so qualified to feel that love for Krishna, let's be honest. But if we can learn how to love our spiritual masters, and learn how to love Srila Prabhupada, learn how to love the devotees, that will translate into love of Krishna, because they are the external representatives. And the spiritual master represents Krishna. Devotees also, they represent Krishna. So the more we can have loving reciprocation very nicely with our spiritual masters, with Srila Prabhupada, with the Vaishnavas, then our love of Krishna blossoms. So, what is that loving? Move them, you want to please them. If you love someone, you want to please them, isn't it? If you truly love someone, you want to please them. So we have to please the devotees. The more we can please the devotees, the more Srila Prabhupada will see, oh, how nicely he or she is serving the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada will be pleased. And Prabhupada is pleased, and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati is pleased, Gurgashira Svabhaji, you get the idea of Bhakti Vinod, Jagannath, in this way. You see, you please your immediate acharya, and that pleases his acharya, and in this way it goes all the way to Krishna. I remember I was taught when I first moved into the ashram that you have to please the spiritual master, you have to please Prabhupada. That's how you make advancement. So I was thinking, well, Prabhupada is not here in our little seminary in Austin, and Prabhupada is not here. How do I know I'm pleasing him? But then we learn another prayer, Chaturvidhashi Bhagavat Prasada. That when the spiritual master sees the devotees taking Bhagavad Prasadam, he becomes satisfied. Wow, it's not so hard after all. Become a devotee, you just got to take Prasadam. Ki jai! Not so difficult. You take Prasadam, Prabhupada is pleased, and you make spiritual advance. So it really isn't a difficult process. You just have to follow it. That's all. Take a shot of chant Hare Krishna. It really, that's where it begins. The tongue. Jiva Do Rupa Goswami said. Begins with the tongue. Chant Hare Krishna and take the shot. We have to make a program to where the tongue, you know, is Krishna in and Krishna out, and that's it. Only Krishna Prasadam goes in and only Krishna Katha comes out. And they say, but I have to work my job, I can't talk Krishna Katha at work. But, that's true. But if you take it as a service, well, I have to perform my job well so I can earn Lakshmi for Krishna. Then it's also using your tongue for Krishna. Prabhupada said that that's actually following the footsteps of Hanuman. Right now, the money is controlled by Ravana. The Ravana civilization is controlling the wealth, you see. So, Prabhupada said Sita is the goddess of fortune. She represents money. It's like Lakshmi, Sita also, same principle. Now Sita, our money, is in the hand of Ravana. So we can take that money and we can bring it back to Ram. Then we are following in the footsteps of Hanuman, you see. So we're working a job, we're trying to get as much money as we can out of that corporation, you know. Taking the Sita away from Ram, I mean Ravana, and bringing her back to Ram. So in this way, even in our ordinary worldly activities, we can Krishnaize them, we can connect them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, always be engaged in loving reciprocation, Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. So this process is not difficult at all. It's a very, very simple process. Prabhupada told us in San Francisco, it simply requires practice. Not difficult. Anybody can master anything if they'll practice it regularly. It's like playing the guitar or anything. If you practice it regularly and devotedly, you'll become good at it. So we just have to practice bhakti on a regular daily basis. Every day we practice bhakti with the goal of becoming a master of bhakti. And we will. Anybody who will stick with this process week after week, year after year, decade after decade, devoting their whole life to this process, will become a master of bhakti yoga, that's a thing. Bhakti yoga master. Kijai. So we can all master this process. We can all become great transcendentalists, paramahamsas, uttamadikaris, actually, prophets. Wants us all to become uttama. We go from Kanishka to Majjha and Majjha to Uttama. Prabhupada wants us all to come to the professional stage of bhakti. So, if we practice very diligently, we gradually make that progress from Kanishka to Majjha. In this way, we can make progress slowly, slowly, day by day, step by step. If one doesn't give up the process and just patiently, diligently pursue this pathway, then gradually, 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 Krishna becomes manifest, fully manifest. As Prabhupada told me in that letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Wow. Wouldn't that be something to be able to see Krishna face to face? That letter has been inspiring me for the last 40 years. Prabhupada ordered me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. I know by His mercy it's possible for such a thing to be achieved. And one can see Krishna face to face. By the mercy of one, of Srila Prabhupada and His Guru. So, if we just stick with this process, never deviate. And even if we do deviate, if we have some, we slip along the way, then pick yourself up. A piece that should have asked and Krishna says, even if you commit the most abominable action, if you are engaged in devotional service, you are a sadhu, you are a great saint. So even if we have some slip up along the way, that's alright. pick yourself up, a little child learning to walk, do they make it on the first attempt? No. They slip and fall for a while, but after a while, the parents keep encouraging, come on, little woman, you can do it. And finally, the little boy masters the art of walking. Just like Prabhupada, that famous pastime, the Agarwal son, Sally and Gopal Agarwal, little boy, bridge. Prabhupada was there when he first stood up. Prabhupada was, there's a big picture of it, the big smile, the little boy standing up. So just like Prabhupada, by the mercy, Prabhupada helped encourage bridge to stand up for the first time. So Prabhupada will also pick us up and help us walk. There will be no slip anymore. If we take the mercy of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representatives, then we'll become also very steady in Krishna consciousness. We'll have the tendency to slip, gradually overcome and we won't fall down. We become very solid, very steady, very consistent. At every minute we can be absorbed in thinking of Krishna, speaking of Krishna, acting for Krishna in all times, all places and all circumstances. It takes practice, but if one does diligently practice it, one does master it in due course of time. So that is great. This science, these facts, these scientific facts, give great hope to us who are struggling here, battling it out every day with the modes of nature. It's a fact. We will gradually conquer over the modes, become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
Excuse me, Swami. Should I address you as Swami? Is that correct?
You can call me Prabhu.
Prabhu?
Yeah.
Prabhu? Excuse me, Prabhu. I have one question, please. I have a motherly type of friend, a mother figure for me, who is very kind to me and saved me in some respects from the gutter. Of course, the devotees and Sri Prabhupada have also greatly picked me up from the gutter. However, I have arranged this evening to meet Sash Somerset Rotary or at a bar called the Hairy Canary. They're having a James Bond New Year's Eve celebration from 6 to 3, and I was going to meet her there at 7, or at her home between 4 to 6 and 6 to go to the Hairy
Canary. Let me stop a minute, because I'm deaf and I'm going to have my wife tell me what she said so far.
Should I?
I couldn't hear a word of what you're saying, so I'm going to have her summarize it for me, and then you can continue.
You are saying you're deaf, but none of us could hear or make it out what he's saying.
Anybody can make out what he's saying to the people?
There's a lady who has helped this guru in his life, and he was going to meet her tonight.
Yes. Should I...
Say what? What is it?
I don't know.
Should I meet her or should I not? Should I?
He's asking, should he meet her or should he not?
Her was her.
He is going to meet the lady who helped him, so he was going to meet her.
What kind of help?
Whatever in his life she has given him.
I don't want to. I want to be with the devotees.
He said he doesn't want to go and meet with this lady, but he wants to be with the devotees.
Yeah, the best thing is to give. Lord Chaitanya said the first principle of becoming Krishna conscious is to give up mundane association, just associate with devotees. So we feel some attachment and we're also entangled with mundane association. But one should actually get free from them. Because that keeps you. You see, the thing is, we human beings, just like birds fly together, we human beings also have a flocking tendency. So we should repose that flocking tendency with devotees. Because otherwise we'll be pulled with the non-devotees. We have to fly to the right flock.
Yes.
So that's why Prabhupada started this movement. So we would all have a place where we could come, we could connect with devotees, and we all need association. We can, no man is an island. We can't function by ourselves. We need society. All of us need society. So that's why we have the Krishna Conscious Society. So please get yourself totally absorbed in this company of Vaishnavas. That's the key to happiness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jai Hare Krishna. Okay, any other questions?
Prabhu, if we don't associate with non-devotees, how can we can reach the land?
If we don't associate with non-devotees, how can
we preach? If it's dead, don't associate with non-devotees, then that means how can we preach? So the meaning of not associating with non-devotees is to not take their association, but to give your association. It doesn't mean you have to go hide somewhere in the forest. It means we go to give them Krishna consciousness. That's the meaning. Yes? We go to give that, we give Krishna conscious association to the non-devotees. Of course, that doesn't mean that you don't hear them, that in that activity of giving Krishna consciousness to others, you have to establish a relationship, you have to hear them, you have to appreciate them, you have to like them. And those things devotees do. Because a devotee, he sees Krishna within everyone. So he actually appreciates everybody. A devotee appreciates everybody. But he's interested, he's going to them and reciprocating with them for the purpose of helping them to become Krishna conscious. It's a one-way conversation, but that he just, tells them about Krishna and he doesn't want to hear from them because they're not a devotee. No. He establishes a relationship with them. He hears from them, he understands them, he likes them, he loves them, and in such a way that that person is very, very willing to hear from the devotee. And then he gives them Krishna consciousness. Does that help a little bit? Okay. Yeah, it's stated in the art of sales, you can't sell something to somebody unless they're willing to listen to you. And no one is willing to listen to you unless they like you. So no one is going to like you unless they feel that you like them. So for preaching word, we have to really communicate, and we have to feel compassion for people, and that has to manifest in our way we deal with them. And when they feel, this person really likes me. See, how many people are actually people are frustrated because they feel they're caught up in an impersonal world where nobody cares about them. Nobody liked them. So they meet a devotee, and the devotee shows so much friendship, so much compassion, so much love, they feel very enlivened and happy. Just somebody really likes me, really cares about me. And when they feel that, then they'll open up and hear from you. No one will hear from somebody they don't like. And nobody will like somebody that doesn't like them. So the expert preacher, Prabhupada was the master of this. Everybody felt so much love from Prabhupada. So much, they felt so much compassion flowing from Srila Prabhupada. That they would open up and hear and learn from him because they felt his compassion. So in this way, it's not that we don't associate, we do associate. In fact, devotees associate more with non-devotees. Our preachers, our Buddhist devotees especially, they associate more than the non-devotees do with non-devotees. But it's all for the purpose of getting Krishna consciousness. They'll go out all day, they'll meet hundreds of people on the street for the purpose of giving them Krishna. Any other questions? Yes. Intoxicating. There's nothing more enlivening. My personal, actually, I was asked the same question in Sydney by one gentleman, and I told him I'm intoxicated by this. I find it intoxicating. It's really an exciting adventure for me, traveling and preaching all over the world, even though it's taxing in many ways. I find it so enlivening. Because the more I give Krishna, the more I get Krishna. And traveling and preaching, I found, gives me the best facility for giving Krishna to a lot of people. So, for me, the taste I get, I mean, I get so enlivened, you know, planning my next tour, all the details, just like now, we're working on getting, you know, some planning, you know, next fall, we're planning like a year ahead, so we get the best deal on the tickets, you know. And plus we have all these frequent flyer miles, we get award tickets, so the easiest way to get those is a year in advance, so we plan a year in advance. So, you know, I'm already working on 2014 right now, actually. I have these charts the whole year, you know, in a PDF file, a calendar, and I fill it in. And we're already working on 2014 right now. And, you know, I find it very exciting, very stimulating. It's practically like a mystical experience to travel and give Krishna consciousness. This is really amazing. The experiences we have and how that helps us connect with Krishna more and more. So, the thought of not doing it is it's unacceptable. I imagine sometime I'll become so sick and old, I won't be able to do it anymore. You know, old age and finally take its toll. But until then, traveling and preaching ki jai. Yeah?
It's a follow-up question. How should all of us invite this kind of thing? What inspires you to sustain and endeavor? How should we
invite? How should the devotee like himself should also acquire that kind of feeling?
Well, I mean, Prabhupada has ordered us again and again and again and again, we have to make the world Krishna conscious. So, to me, any life other than, you know, thinking about how to make the whole world Krishna conscious is just a boring life. It's boring. Mm-hmm. We have to think how to make all of Melbourne Krishna conscious. You see, how to expand our movement and make all of Melbourne Krishna conscious. How to make hundreds, thousands, even millions of devotees eventually. We have to preach and organize our preaching in such a way that it can grow exponentially. We have really have to be in the mood of spiritual revolutionaries. And really think in terms of making Prabhupada's movement a success. I mean, he told us in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. He ordered us to deliver the whole world. So if we embrace that order and think, well, but how can we make this whole part of the world Melbourne Krishna conscious? What can we do that will attract the whole Melbourne population to join this movement? That's how we have to be thinking. Racking our brains, how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. That's what Prabhupada, that pleased him more than anything. I know in my personal dealings with him. The most pleasure, the time when Prabhupada showed the most pleasure in me was when I told him they wanted to close the center in Asta. And I've been initiated there, and Prabhupada said, make the Austin Center a grand success. So I was thinking, if they close the center, how can I serve Prabhupada's order? So I wrote Prabhupada trying to convince him that we shouldn't close the center in Austin. And I said, Prabhupada, the people here are in desperate need of Krishna consciousness, therefore I don't think the center should be closed. Prabhupada was so pleased that I was concerned for the people in Austin, and they desperately needed Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was so pleased with me. You know, it was the most wonderful letter. I was so happy that I saw the people were desperately needing Krishna consciousness, and I wanted to do something about it. So, that's the mood that every devotee should have. These people are desperately, they are dying without Krishna consciousness. They're going out of the animal kingdom without Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I must do something to save them. That is the mood. Whether you're in one place or traveling, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. You must feel compassion for these souls who are being foolishly carried away, who are being duped by Maya Devi and completely wasting their time. We saw the other day at the beach, they're all, you know, have their sailboat race. You know. They're spending all this energy to get their sailboats, to fly their kites, all these things, just foolish waste of time. They should be cultivating Krishna consciousness. So it really boils down to compassion. You have to feel compassion. If you feel compassion, you will naturally do everything you can to help these people come out of the stupor of Maya's charms. Well, we're going over time again, and I'm going to get in trouble. We have to wrap it up now. Huh? Okay, yeah, it's better we stick to the schedule. I know in one temple I was going, started going a little overtime, and I got chewed out of the temple president. I want to keep a very good relationship with the authorities. Prabhupada actually told me that to always please the authorities. So 8:15 is 8:15. Okay, thank you all very much. Gamsarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
His Grace Srimad Shankarsana Sadhikari Maharaj Ki Jai.
I do have a couple of garlands here which are up for takers, whoever gets here first. Okay, there's the first one, here's the second one. Yes, sir. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My name is James, Bhakta James.